You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Welcome to the Con Guy Show, straight from the nerdy heart of Hollywood, where we take a look at fandom, comic cons, and pop culture from a filmmaker's perspective. In the case we haven't reminded you lately, Con Guy as in Comic Con, not con men. We are not trying to con you. My name is Jim Fry, and I'm one of your co-hosts here on the show. And who do we have to my left or my right in the upper squares?
Yeah, the upper square is Cheeseman here with theconguy.com.
All right,
Ben. Media director. And yes, if you're wondering, yes, there is a boom in the shot. We did an audio recording right before this, and I used a boom mic for Jim's audio, and he kept it in for the video. So this whole show, there will be a boom in the shot.
Booms in the shot.
And we'll love that.
Booms in the shot.
And I'll be doing this.
All right.
Yeah, there we go.
Do some ASMR for us, Jim. Hey, everybody. It's me, old buddy Ben. I don't know what, regular contributor at the Con Guy. I don't really do anything for the website. I just spent an hour on the phone with my mom explaining the difference between the Con Guy and that hashtag show. And it was actually, she understands it a lot better now. So I'm glad I took the opportunity to do that. But she was I don't know who any of these people are. I don't know what one thing is. And I'm like, I'm going to explain this all to you, mom. So that was fun, but and it also made me appreciate all the things that I have with the Con Guy and that hashtag show and our guest today, Kurt.
What?
Hey. Our special guest, Kurt
Schmeichel. Yes.
Did I say your name right?
No, you know, it's actually Smuckle. You know, no,
it's Schmeichel.
Yeah. No. Yes. You know, I was in my high school years when the Lord of the Rings movies came out, and consistently it was like Smeagol, and I was like, hey, you can make a reference. I'm here for it. I'm Curtis. I'm from the Three Ingrooners podcast. You may have heard me before. If you haven't, check me out, threeingrooners.com. I'm here to talk about a lot of the same stuff I talk about on that podcast, which is all comic book stuff, sci-fi stuff. So yeah, this will be a fun time. If anything, it's going to be very familiar for me.
All right. Well, first of all, we're going to talk about you. So,
yes,
Kurt, you are one of the hosts and founders of the super popular, right?
Three
Angry Nerds podcast and media brand.
Yes.
Together with his colleagues, Lucas Charleston.
Yeah.
And Alex Lazzi LaRusso.
Yes.
You guys create and host the Three Angry Nerds, Nerds in Love, the horror podcast Tremble.
Yeah.
Three Angry Gamers and more. Kurt, and welcome to the Con Guy Show. We are glad to have you, my friend.
Thank you for having me. This is great. I've actually have been looking forward to this for at least like the last week or so. So, yeah.
Wow.
And you I got to ask you, Kurt.
Yeah.
Why are you so angry?
Yeah. Who's the most angry?
Here's the funny thing. I got asked this, and we started doing the podcast in 2013, which I think back then, there was like some movies out there in the fandom that I wasn't that fond of, and we just kept being angrier and angrier. And then eventually the movie started getting better. And now I feel like I don't have to be as angry as much because like the movies are just getting better. Like we got rid of Andrew Garfield. We got Tom Holland. Things are getting better out in the world. Like I don't have as much to be as angry about nowadays, but I'm still at the ready. If something just maybe goes a little touch too far, I'll be ready to lay on that rage again.
All right. You know, we're all about soapboxes here, although we try to rid ourselves of the toxic fandom that has been infecting so many people. Yeah. But tell us real quick, where are you coming from?
Vancouver, British Columbia. I guess western coast of Canada. Very beautiful city. When it's not snowing and we have to deal with that once or twice a year and we don't know what we're doing. So, yeah.
A lot of people don't know what they're doing with snow right about now.
It's amazing when you see people like go into their like Costco's or whatever, just getting like 48 packs of bottled water as if it's like the end of the world. It's like, no, it's just snow, guys. You'll live to tomorrow. You'll be fine.
You can actually drink snow, can't you?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can. I've never tested that myself, but I was going to go with yes. Yeah.
You have to double check the color of the snow, Jim.
Yes.
Hey, I'm from actually north of Chicago originally, where it would snow in November and we wouldn't see the ground till April. It was just covered. And
oh gosh.
So I know my snow, and there's a reason I live in Southern California.
Hey, he's seen the yellowest of snows.
I really have. I've made the yellowest of snows. Hey, Kirk, tell us.
He's very dehydrated.
Before we get into some good conversations and stuff here, I know that Ben and Luke really are wanting to mix it up with you. Tell us a little bit about the podcast that you guys produce, the different ones that you guys got going on.
Yeah, so started the podcast in 2013. At the time, I had actually ran a video game news website, which I conveniently actually got an offer to sell, which I did. And immediately I got bored and I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to talk about video games. I'm going to switch it up. I'm going to talk about movies, something else I'm passionate about. And oddly enough, within like the first couple of years, like I think it took a few years. I'm sure you and other content creators know things don't just happen overnight. But eventually things started to roll. And, you know, next thing you know, DCEU fanboys are ripping me on Reddit and, you know, other stuff. And next thing you know, you've got to send my name for yourself. So it's good. And, you know, I appreciate that, you know, I have a good working relationship with the studios and they let me review stuff and talk about their movies and stuff. So it's good. It's a really cool place to be. And, you know, I think, you know, it's been interesting to watch comic book movies and other genre movies grow over time and get better. And particularly now, I think we're really in the golden age. I mean, you know, I remember watching Endgame and thinking like, there's no way in a million years that you could have told me this movie existed in like, say, 2010 or 2011, and I would have believed you. It was just, there was no way, right? So to think of like where these movies have grown into and to be along for that ride has just been a fantastic journey that, hey, we're still on. They're still getting better. They're still fantastic to, you know, watch alongside the studios. So
just in 2010, 2011, we're just like, so there's Thanos and there's Captain America and there's Thor and Spider-Man and Scarlet Witch and blah, blah. And I'd be like, that is total bullshit. What are you talking about?
I think I remember like seeing the original Avengers. And there was a guy sitting behind me saying like Spider-Man appears in this. And in the, at the time I just thought, this guy is so full of crap. But now you think like, hey, you know what? That happens now, right? Like that's the world we live in. So it's just, it's crazy, but it's also amazing at the same time too.
What a time to be alive.
100%.
Right. So yeah, Kurt, what, you know, you talked a little bit about the video game podcast. You're also doing a horror podcast. Is that right?
Yes. So it's called Tremble, the horror movie podcast. I am on the show with another film critic called Steve Stebbing. And then we have a co-host, Taylor, who isn't a film critic, but she's a big fan of horror movies. And every single week we watch a different horror movie. And we've got like 100 plus episodes of different horror movies that we've watched. So, yeah, you start to watch a lot of really weird stuff, a lot of really interesting stuff, and some stuff that you go to bed at night thinking like, I'm not going to have a good sleep tonight at all. So, but yeah, a lot of fun too. I think it's interesting to actually, if you're a comic book fan, to go watch some of these horror movies and watch, like, say something like a Friday the 13th, where Jason is almost like a superhero. I tell people that, like, if you aren't big into horror movies and you want to get into it, start with one of those franchises because you'll find a lot of commonality there with something like a superhero movie, more or less, with a lot more killing and blood.
Indeed. I actually, just for that hashtag show, I got the opportunity to watch the new reboot of Wrong Turn. And do a review on it, which will be coming out on the Hashtag Show website later this weekend, I think. But it's getting about 60%. It's getting like 6 out of 10, you know, 62% on Rotten Tomatoes. I watched this movie. I really liked it. Like, I really liked it. And it was probably because I sat down being like, I'm going to watch a reboot of Wrong Turn. Boy. And then it actually ended up being really good. But that's how you got to go in, low expectations.
I think with horror movies, you have to keep in mind that like a 50 to 60% is still actually kind of okay. Like that's not terrible, at least for horror movies. Like for a lot of other movies, yeah, maybe. But, you know, I see a horror movie get 60% or whatever, and I'm like, I'll still watch that. That's probably at least entertaining.
Right.
Hey, and since you brought up horror, I just want to mention to you, we also have a horror show we do called The Scare Guy. Creative, huh? The con guy is here, but, you know, The Scare Guy, we'll have to do another swap on that one and talk horror, because I tell you what, there's nothing I like more than talking horror. So I got to ask you, what's one of the most recent horror movies that you've seen that's kept you up at night?
Saint Maud. That was a great one. If you haven't heard of it, it's sort of a mix between Taxi Driver and The Exorcist. And it's about a woman who starts to question her faith, but also she's going insane at the same time. It's fantastic. I won't say much more than that, but if you want to watch a good horror movie, St. Maud's definitely up there.
Cool, cool. Just so we're clear, and Ben, you, I have a question for Ben, actually. Ben, you said that you spent an hour explaining the difference between that hashtag show and the con guy. Just for the listeners out there, quickly give us an explanation of who that hashtag show is and who we are.
That hashtag show.com is, it's a great website. It's news, media, breaking stories, videos, interviews, podcasts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, for all your geeky, nerdy movie, TV show, comic book, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera needs. It's a blast. I love working with these guys. They're really passionate. They are also sponsored by Neft Vodka. I would be remiss if I did not mention, reminding you, of course, to always drink responsibly. I said this on the show the other night where I'm like, I just love pitching stuff like I'm on a show back in the 50s, just like, also brought to you by. And then the con guy. I took a while to tell my mom about the con guy, which was it's a fun story. But basically, Luke and Jim started the website. Then it got pitched to them to do, like, from a network. They were like, we want you to come do a podcast. Yep. And they were like, okay. And then I kept running into Jim and Luke at comic book conventions. And then they're like, Ben, I was like, what are you guys doing here? And they're like, we have a podcast. And I was like, that's cool. And they're like, you should be on our podcast. And I was like, okay. And then after I did one podcast, they're like, you're a host on our podcast now. And I was like, okay. So I got voluntold to be a host on this.
And I dare you to try to leave.
That's true.
It's not going to happen.
Luke. As long as they keep sending checks.
Hey, Luke, I don't think your sound is on, man. We can't hear you.
No. The bump to button.
There you go.
But we were a catalyst moment for Ben.
Exactly. Ben is going to become the next. Anyways. I was going
to
say.
Do we want to say Chris Hardwick, or is he about to get canceled again?
Chris Hardwick might be canceled. We don't cancel him, but he's a controversial figure, but like that type of figure. That's what Ben's
a non-controversial Chris Hardwick. Is that what you're saying?
Chris? Yeah, I think I said that last week. You're like Chris Hardwick without the baggage.
Yes. Delete all your tweets from 10 years ago now, Ben.
Hey, Kurt, I do have to ask you, though. You guys got like a million subscribers, man. How did that happen? We would kill for that. Literally, we would.
You know, I think really what it boils down to is just trying to make good content. And not to say that as a slander against you guys, but it's not. Okay. It's not. Say, oh,
we're screwed. It is.
It really is like just, I get people who ask me like, oh, how do I start a podcast? What do I do? And I tell people like, don't worry about ads. Don't worry about all these other things. Focus on the content. Just make good content. If it's there, people are going to check it out. But like, we've done things that like, it's interesting to see that we were doing a lot of these things before it became pretty popular to do so. Like one of the things that I remember we did early on was we would record like a commentary track for a movie. And now you see so many other podcasts doing it. But like at the time, we were doing it before most people were even probably thinking like, hey, let's have a bunch of people talk over a movie. You know, who would have thought that would have been entertaining? But, you know, oddly enough, I think people think, hey, I'm watching this movie with these people that I hear talk about movies otherwise. So, yeah, it's just content really is the key for a lot of it, I guess. Yeah. So
we have to start generating content, Jim.
I know. I guess we actually have to do some good stuff now.
We gotta fix our content. You guys are these movie commentaries, you know. That's you gotta watch some really bad movies and talk over top of them. People go crazy for that kind of stuff.
Riff tracks it up.
All right, exactly. We're gonna do it.
Speaking of things that make some people angry, let's talk a little bit about some topics that are coming out that are kind of hitting the wire today.
Yeah.
Ryan Johnson has reportedly confirmed that his Star Wars trilogy is still happening, though there aren't any set dates or timelines for the project. The filmmaker, who famously directed Star Wars The Last Jedi, the middle chapter of the Star Wars sequel trilogy, recently sat down for an interview with the author. Soraya Wilson, who subsequently confirmed on Twitter that Johnson's previously announced Star Wars trilogy is still in the works. I just have to ask you guys, what you think about that?
No. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm at. Like, as far as like, do I like this idea? If you're asking that question, sure. Yeah. Like, I like Rian Johnson. Like, I'm not necessarily like the whole sequel Star Wars trilogy is a mess, and I appreciate like there was a lot of when I've only seen The Last Jedi once in the theater. That's the only time I've ever watched it. And there were a lot of moments in that movie where I was just like, you know, that were great. But like, did you see Knives Out? Knives Out was awesome. I liked it at least. A lot of people liked it. I think Rian Johnson's a fan. I think if he's putting it together I think that hashtag show released an article today that was like, if this is not connected to the Skywalker story, if it's just another trilogy that takes place and he can kind of formulate the whole thing, that might actually be something. I have to agree with Kurt that, I'll believe it when I see it. I mean, they can say it's happening, it's happening, it's happening as much as they want, but until, you know, the rubber meets the road, this is Hollywood.
Kurt, what do you think?
Here's the thing, too. You have to think, this got relatively announced around the same time as The Last Jedi coming out, right? And then Star Wars movies kind of took a big hit. Like, you had Solo, that wasn't really popular. Last Jedi obviously took a hit. Rise of Skywalker, all that stuff. So the franchise took a few hits, and obviously, like, Mandalorian and all that stuff is kind of bringing the Star Wars brand back into popularity. But I think the big thing to keep in mind is this was announced a whole long time ago. We've known about this for a while, and in that time, Taika Waititi's doing a Star Wars movie, Kevin Feige's got starting to do a Star Wars movie,
right?
And still, this one that got announced ages ago, no progress, tells me that Disney doesn't want to touch it with a 1,000-foot pole. And maybe for Rian, he wants to do it, and maybe he's still working on this idea, and who knows, maybe Disney might say, this is a great idea, let's go for it. But something tells me if this was of huge importance to them, they would have acted on this already, but they aren't. And him saying that there's no release date, nothing like that, tells me that, you know, maybe it's a fever dream of his, but I don't think it's going to go much of anywhere, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Solid points.
Yeah. Well, I think with great, great power comes great responsibility, and he abused that power when he had it. But I feel like,
that's debatable.
Yeah. But I think had he gotten to do something unrelated to, you know, the 9 movies or whatever, like, I think he could have made a good movie. But because the biggest things that upset you in that is what he was doing with the original characters and just some other choices. But had he been able, kind of like Ben said, to like kind of do his own thing, you know, like, I feel like it would have been a different story. And I think the way he could kind of get back into it, to baby step his way, if he directs like a really good episode of like Mandalorian or one of the other kind of Star Wars series, because they're bringing in a lot of guest directors, and if he makes up some great character or does some stuff to kind of redeem himself in a smaller way, I think he could maybe do a film again, possibly.
That's a good idea. By the way, let's not forget Patty Jenkins. She's got a Star Wars movie coming out as well.
True.
Yeah. Hers is the one I'm kind of,
as long as she doesn't write it.
This is true.
Yeah, man.
But again, that got announced after this whole thing of him getting announced. So, like, all these other projects are getting announced after his got announced, and his just keeps, you know, spinning around in circles.
I know. Let's remember the timing. His got announced. When was it? It was before. It was before the final film came out. It was after his movie came out, and they were really high on him at that point.
Yeah,
I think. And they also, the two guys, I don't remember their names. They had the Game of Thrones series. They were going to do a trilogy of movies. And
yeah.
And then they're, you know, they're not doing theirs anymore. Rian Johnson seemed to just kind of go away. And I 100% agree with Luke and all of you guys. If they had given Rian Johnson a Star Wars film in some other part of the Star Wars universe, I think I probably would have not cared. I would have loved it.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like Ben. I saw Last Jedi in the theaters. I have not seen it yet again, although I do love the throne room battle sequence. That kicked ass. That was so good.
The Yoda scene was good.
I was going to say, I think the biggest thing for me was Yoda coming back and the tree and all that kind of stuff. Like,
I just
liked seeing that.
There were parts of it that just really gave you all the feels. But I will forever remember the sequel trilogy as it is the trilogy that one at a time killed off our heroes. It killed Han in the first one, killed Luke in the second one, killed Leia in this. I mean, God rest her
soul. They didn't really have a choice on Leia.
They did not have a choice. Well, they could have just let her go. Just let her live. Just let her live forever. You know, they lived happily ever after. Don't make it I don't know. It is what it is. That's what happens when you have all these directors trying to make all these movies and shove them into one trilogy. It doesn't work that well. So anyways, I'm with you guys. I'll believe it when I see it.
What we learned was just don't announce somebody's doing a trilogy. Just do one film at a time and they won't have that trilogy curse.
By the way, go ahead.
I was going to say that might be the best route for him is just say I'm making a Star Wars movie. And if it's successful, do your second and third film. But let that be something that the fans and the studio decide. Don't just say we're making three movies and you're ride or die with it. You know, let people determine if that's something they want to see.
Yeah,
true.
I remember during the press tours for that, I was actually privileged. I was able to sit and talk with Rian Johnson for a few minutes for an interview I was doing. And he is the ultimate fanboy. He loved this stuff. And I was really kind of looking forward to the direction he was going to take it. I changed my ways after seeing the film. But I'm not one of those people that hate Star Wars. And I do agree with you guys. I think that The Mandalorian is kind of saving the brand. And maybe one of these, how many different series did they announce? Like 12? It's so many series. I'm like, holy.
Feels God. Like it.
Well, I think some of them are just going to be one season, like mini series and stuff like that. Like Obi-Wan Kenobi is just going to be one season, as far as we know, at least. Yeah. Yeah. I can't imagine that Ewan McGregor would commit for longer than that, but maybe if it's great and the money's good, maybe he'll just be like, this is my retirement right here. This is what I'm doing.
Well, what else is he doing? Sorry.
Well, he did riding motorcycle and all that. So he's doing TV.
Oh, I'm sorry. What's that, Luke?
He did Fargo, like which he did great in. So I don't think he's opposed necessarily to doing TV. I mean, again, that was like a one season kind of thing, but I think for something like this, there could definitely be opportunity for some maybe crossover or possibly more if depending on how good it does. I mean, who would say no to like having all this, you know, craze if it goes as good as Mandalorian did?
Let's see what Kevin Feige can do. Let's see what Kevin Feige can do with a Star Wars film. I'm kind of stoked about that one as well.
Forgive the interruption.
Hi, I'm Mike.
Hi, I'm Kylan.
Hi, I'm Eric. And we are
Mighty Marvel Geeks.
Mighty Marvel Geeks is your award-winning show about all things Marvel, with news, rumors, commentary, and interviews covering movies, comics, and all points in between.
We'll also have our recommendations on what to pick up each week on New Comic Book Day, as well as a weekly pick from New Marvel Unlimited.
Find us online at MightyMarvelGeeks.net.
Subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your favorite podcast.
That's Mighty Marvel Geeks. And remember,
we
are Groot.
Yeah. What's next on the docket here, Jim?
All right, J.J. Abrams. Yeah, let's talk about J.J. Abrams, Ben. What's happening with that?
Well, according to this document you just emailed me, J.J. Abrams will produce a new Constantine series based on the DC Comics character for HBO Max. The Hollywood Reporter has confirmed Abrams' Bad Robot and WarnerMedia have tapped British novelist Guy Boughton to pen the pilot and are aiming to cast an actor of color in the role.
So they're changing it up.
Which is, I think, cool. I have just learned about this in this moment. I think that's cool. I did like, who was the fella that played him in the WB or the CW show?
I don't remember his name, but he is Constantine. Like, yeah,
He was so
fun. Yeah, we met him at Comic-Con, too.
Okay, Luke, you got a picture with him, didn't you?
Yeah, I was dressed as Castiel, but then we pretended like we're Constantine just to get a picture with him and stuff. And he's like, you got the wrong color tie, which was just a few minor differences, but pretty similar.
Anyways,
Kurt, how do you feel?
Here's the thing. Constantine's the character everybody loves, so I think this is a slam dunk either way. As for the casting of somebody, you know, person of color, I think that's a great idea. I don't think Constantine's a character that necessarily is adhered to one race or another. Mm-hmm. I think they were mentioning a Riz Ahmed type, which I think would be interesting. Not to say that they'll go for Riz Ahmed.
Well, that's cool.
Fits him, but I watched for review Lupin, which came out on Netflix, and I thought the lead on that was great. And I was actually thinking watching this that Omar Sy is his name. He would be great as Constantine. But I like this idea. I think it's cool. And I can't imagine, you know, this being a case where anyone's going to be really overly upset that, you know, you're strained from the, what's Matt Ryan was his name? The guy
Matt
who played
Ryan, right. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think people would be too upset if they, you know, change things up from that and do something different. Constantine kind of seems like a character that you can kind of play around with and do something different. So Yeah, I'm going to check it out.
That's no, I agree with you. I think it's cool. The whole theme of like changing characters out, you know, gender swapping them, making them different races. I don't think that's such a bad thing, except when we get lazy and we don't create like cool new characters. Like I don't think that it's, we have so much creativity and we have so many new voices that are entering in, like that are getting a chance right now in the entertainment industry. Let's let people create brand new characters and see if they catch on. Like I sometimes think it's just plain out lazy. Sometimes let's take such and such a character and let's make it a dude, or let's make it let's change it out. Although I must say one of my favorite characters of all time, Kara Thrace, Battlestar Galactica, who was a gender swap character from the original Battlestar, is one of the best sci-fi characters in existence, and it worked perfectly well there.
I'm done.
No, not anything.
Well, I was just going to counterpoint that, Jim, with the thing is, so many of the characters that we have that could be gender or race swapped, so to speak, a new character doesn't carry the kind of weight that an existing character would. And it is kind of a show of confidence, a show of power. If they were to say, we want to cast a black man as Batman, the conversation doesn't have, we want to cast a black man as James Bond. They've cast a black woman as 007 for the next 007 movie. Now she isn't James Bond. James Bond still exists in the movie. But I think part of it is bringing the character that holds the power and showing that it doesn't necessarily have to be a white dude or a white chick. Perfect example, Journey Smollett as Black Canary in Birds of Prey. Whew, she was badass. And it doesn't matter what color, what color skin Black Canary has. And in fact, the name Black Canary kind of lends itself to having a black woman play it as well. But she had like the blonde dreads and stuff. She was so cool. Also, if you haven't watched Lovecraft Country, holy shit, that one's fun too. And she's amazing in that. But I think there is a certain amount of like the weight, the cultural significance that these characters have. And then showing it does not have to be as we've traditionally cast it. We can have, Kara Thrace be, you know, played by... Bo-Katan. Why can't I think of her name?
I used to go to church with her. I delivered turkeys with her on Thanksgiving one time before I ever saw the show. I'm the world's worst nerd right now.
Kurt, what's her name? Why can't we think of her name?
She's in Battlestar Galactica. I remember that. I'm blanking too. It's not terrible. No.
While you're figuring it out, I know how you solve any kind of swapping of a character.
Andy Sackhoff! Yes!
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah. There you go.
Got it.
But how you solve any of these issues for recasting of a race or gender or whatever, well, gender does it, but for race, Samuel L. Jackson, you could just put him as any character, like Nick Fury. Perfect example of how it just didn't matter because he's just that good.
I think to me, it always is like a case-by-case basis. And it's so interesting to see that there's this big push of let's cast people of color in all these roles where, like, to me, you know, say you take a character like Black Panther, you do a different race. Like, that changes the fundamental core of that character. Right. That doesn't make any sense, right? So I'm always thinking, like, okay, is this going to really drastically alter this character's story or what your themes are with this character if you then all of a sudden do a different race? So it's one of those things, like, it's interesting to see that there's such a push where it almost gets to the point where I'm like, do you understand this character, or are you just pushing for this because you want this to be progressive, but to the point where it almost just doesn't make sense. Like, that's why I'm saying with Constantine, like, I don't think it matters. Like, I don't think his race is central to his story. Whereas for like Black Panther, Shang-Chi, you can't do that. You can't do the same thing with those kind of characters their stories are so integral to who they are as, you know, part of their race identity. So yeah, it's one of those things. Like, in some cases it's good. In some cases I'd say, don't touch this. Just leave it be. We're fine with that as is. So, yeah.
Well, I agree with you. No, I think that some of the iconic characters, let's just leave them alone. And, but like, I do agree. It is kind of cool that that we have reached a point in our society where we can switch out the races of characters, and a lot of people don't make a big stink about it. A lot of people just really like it. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think the gender swapping gets a little bit more problematic for me, especially if I so identify with like Scully and Mulder as Scully and Mulder. And if you turn that into like a buddy comedy, I wouldn't identify with the X-Files quite as much. Sometimes I just need things to be exactly how I fell in love with them. But I think we're at a good time in society right now where we are open to allowing everybody to have their chance up at the table. I think it's great.
Yeah. I think X-Files could become a new series with two new characters or something. Yeah. I feel like it's such a good kind of broad concept that you could bring in, and then they kind of exist in, you know, the past. They're still part of that universe, but mm-hmm. I think X-Files is something they could expand on more.
They tried, but Chris Carter got a little wonky on it. I'm just going to tell you, though, I am so old school. For the most part, I'm saying just make more characters. I know, Bennett, they don't have the same amount of weight. I just think we have great creative people. I think we have so many characters waiting to be created right now. I think we keep on going back to the well too many times. Like, let's make new stuff instead of keep rebooting everything that's old. That's my opinion.
You're not wrong. And if you read the Batman comics right now, there is the Bat family has expanded. It's not just the same like seven. They were already like seven characters, like Batman, four Robins, Batgirl, you know, all these guys. Now there's like two more. There is a young African-American man who is now he's called The Signal, and he has a yellow bat suit with black trim.
Yeah, it looks cool.
And then there's a couple of I can't remember their name. There's a couple of younger girls that are like bat family members. And it's really expanding a lot. So there are new characters being created. But I think one of the things is like everybody already knows, you know, Batman. They want to see Batman, and they want to see somebody do Batman right because they haven't done it since Tim Burton. And, you know, it's hot take. But of course, then you look at like Iron Man, who is a character that, you know, has been around for a while, but was relatively unknown, you know, to broader, you know, the general public. And they built the most successful film franchise of all time on the back of Iron Man.
I know. How great is it? Hey, you mentioned Tim Burton, though. We found out today what Tim Burton's next project is. Tim Burton is going to be making a live action series on Netflix based on Wednesday from the Addams Family. This to me is bizarre. It just is bizarre. But I don't know how you make Wednesday apart from the Addams Family. I don't know about this one, but I'll give it a shot, I guess.
Yeah. To me, it seems very much in his wheelhouse and maybe just his wheelhouse. You know, this seems like a Burton project, but I also, I kind of wonder how much would people tune in for that, right? Like, you know, I'm sure this will probably just chalked up as a passion project, and, you know, maybe there's more to it than that, but it feels like this is something that he probably just thought this would be cool to do. And now you probably figure like, will people actually tune in? I mean, it's Netflix. It's always going to be there, but yeah, you have to wonder, will people actually watch something like this?
I think low key there is a big Addams Family fan base out there. That exists. I think I know we love it in my house. Like my wife and I watch the two Addams Family Values movies, several times over the course of a year. And, so of course I'm a bit biased in that perspective, but, I have always thought the original Addams Family movies, I'm like, they need to reboot this, but with like Tim Burton at the helm. And now they're kind of rebooting it with Tim Burton at the helm. And I hesitated on the animated Addams Family movie that came out recently. Mm-hmm. And we finally watched it like a month or two ago. And it was actually really cute, really fun. And we enjoyed it we really didn't think we would, because we loved the live action, you know, Raul Julia and all of them, so good.
Angelica Houston.
Angelica Houston. Yeah. So we're, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited. I think Tim Burton, like as Kurt mentioned, Tim Burton and the Addams Family is kind of the perfect pairing. And don't know how they're going to do like specifically centered around Wednesday, but I think she is an interesting enough character that if Tim Burton doesn't go extreme Tim Burton weird on it and still makes it somewhat like he can go pretty far in his own direction with this, but sometimes Tim Burton has the tendency to get way out there, like beyond just where any of us can reach him. Yeah. And that's fine. Like the Alice in Wonderland movies, I was just like, huh? But Dumbo?
Remember Dumbo?
I actually didn't even see Dumbo because I was like, I don't know how weird this is. But yeah.
Wait, Kirk, did you see Dumbo?
Yes, I did, unfortunately. Okay, yeah, that felt like a movie stretched out way too thin because I think the original movie is like an hour long or something like that. And you watch this new one and it's just full of padding and unnecessary storylines and plot points. And I was just bored. I wasn't a fan, but I also think Disney's kind of tried to visit the well of the live action remake a few times now to a lot of mixed reactions. So I don't know. Maybe that's it for those live action things.
Well, no, it's not it. Did you see the new trailer that dropped today?
No. What's the trailer for?
Cruella.
Cruella.
Oh, yes. Cruella. Yes, I did see that one. Okay. Yeah. I was thinking for some reason Disney's always dropping trailers. So part of me thinks there could be like four in a day and I'd miss one. Yeah, Cruella I did watch and I thought that had a style. I'll give it that much. It looks like it's whether it's got the substance to back it up, we'll see. But style-wise, it looked interesting enough.
And it's got Emma Stone.
Yeah. I love Emma Stone. Emma Stone could make a movie about her making bread dough rise and I'd watch it. But I don't know where I came up with that analogy. Anyway,
it made me hungry. That's
hey, sure, yeah, right. That sounds interesting.
Who wants a sandwich? I love Emma Stone. I watched the trailer for this movie and I was like, I don't know what the hell's going on, but I think I'm intrigued. Like, I think. Yeah. And my wife watched it and she was like, I'm about it. I'll see it. I'm good. I'm good to go. And this really isn't a live action remake. This is a live action origin story.
Mm-hmm.
Or a movie that was both animated and live action in two different. So I don't know if this will be connected to the Glenn Close. I'm sure it won't be.
No, this
is a whole new franchise. But then, of course, I saw all the comments online today that it was like, you know, Cruella De Vil, but make her Harley Quinn. Cruella De Vil, but make it Joker. You know, and I was like, okay, but hopefully. Yeah, I'm sure they probably took some notes from the popularity of Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn character and that sort of thing. Hopefully it's enough separated from that it doesn't just feel like, oh, it's another. And with Emma Stone, you know, she's a really good actress. So hopefully, you know, it'll be good. But we'll see. We'll see. I have no idea what was going on in that trailer, though. It's
well, yeah, the original animated Disney film, 101 Dalmatians, came out in 1961. So that's 60 years ago. 60 years ago this year. And so this new trailer, it purports to have the origin story of Cruella De Vil. Her name is Estrella. She wants to be a fashion person in London. And she is it Anna? Anna Thompson? Yeah. Emma Thompson is her, like, either her mentor or maybe the protagonist. But this is supposedly set in 1970s London, which is that was the weird part for me. It was 1970s London, which is like 10 years after the original movie came out in 1970s.
Maybe it's the Glenn Close one.
Yeah. Maybe it is.
Probably not, but.
Well, you never
probably know. A whole separate thing.
The one thing I did like about the trailer, though, is like Emma Stone. She got Cruella De Vil's mannerism so spot on when she's driving the car with her big bony shoulders up in the air and driving and leaning really close to the steering wheel. It's exactly how the animated movie did it, and I was like, all right, that's cool. I like stuff when they can do things like that. That was really cool.
Yeah.
But we'll see. It does look like a big flashy thing. Hey, listen, there's also Brad sent us this. Brad is a friend of the podcast who sent this to me, and we talked about it. We had another podcast we recorded earlier this week when we talked about, I didn't know what he was talking about, but apparently Gizmo is now back in the public consciousness because of a commercial that came on this week.
I didn't see it.
I didn't either.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either.
Did you see it?
Yeah, it was like a Mountain Dew commercial. Yeah, it was basically Zach and Gizmo, and Gizmo's drinking Mountain Dew. It's superficial, but, you know, if anything, maybe it brings gremlins back into the consciousness. Maybe, I think Warner Brothers holds the rights to that. Maybe they start thinking like, oh, hey, people are talking about gremlins. That's trending on Twitter. Let's greenlight another movie. Actually, I think they've got that HBO Max animated thing coming, so...
Yep.
There's something coming, but I would prefer a live action like Gremlins 3, to be honest. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe if it pushes us closer to that, sure, I'll take it.
Yeah, they do. HBO Max does have the animated Gremlins series coming from, based in the 1980s films. But they Sci-Fi Wire did talked with Zach Galligan's Billy Pretzler character, who connected with Mowgli. And he did say,
they Mogwai. You said Mowgli like from the Jungle Book. Mogwai. That's what
Mogwai. Yeah, Mowgli would eat him. So Mogwai. But anyways, they were talking about, is this an attempt to re-energize the franchise? And he kind of said, you know, not a bad idea. So we'll see where that goes. I think I would give anything for another Gremlins film. That would be fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah, there's a really great I think it's a Key and Peele sketch where it's the pitch meeting for Gremlins 2. Have you seen this?
It's hilarious.
It's so good. It's like, what? There's a female gremlin with huge boobs and all this. Like, it's really good. It's really good.
Oh, my gosh. Do you guys remember the first time you saw part two and how I don't know about you. I love Gremlins 2 so much because Gremlins 1 still attempted to be like a horror movie with a little bit of humor, whereas Gremlins 2 just kind of said, you know what, let's do what we do best and make this farce of a horror movie. And it was great. It was it was the most fun you can have in cinema. I just love that movie so much.
Oh. Yeah.
But anyways, hey, listen, there's one thing before we let you go, Kurt, we do have to talk about, and people accuse us of talking about it too much, but we just can't get out of here without talking about it.
The only person that accuses us of talking about it too much is one of the other hosts of the show who's not on tonight.
Danae's not here. We can talk WandaVision. Danae, if you're watching, we're sorry. No, we do have to talk WandaVision because we're coming down to the last three episodes, I think.
Yep, 7 airs Friday. So
yeah, and apparently, okay. First question: do you think we're going to get a brand new, great big cameo towards the end of the season, or maybe just specifically, how do you think we're going to wrap up this season?
I've heard various things that it's Doctor Strange. Is what I've heard, and to me, that, you know, before even hearing that, that just always made the most sense. You know, leads into Multiverse of Madness. Let's have a bit of a stinger for that. That makes a whole lot of sense. So I've heard it's Doctor Strange. I am putting all of my chips in on Doctor Strange, being that's the big cameo. But in terms of like how it wraps up, this is speculation. I don't know too much about this concretely, but I have a feeling this is leading to a reverse House of M. House of M in the comics, if you're not too sure, is Wanda erasing most of the mutants from the comics continuity. This, I feel like, will be a reverse one. We've already seen that Wanda can give powers through Monica Rambeau. I feel like we're going to see a complete reversal of House of M, where she creates mutants at the end of this. You know, maybe this anomaly collapses in on itself and spreads across the world, and next thing you know, we have mutants in the MCU. The more I see things, the more I think this is leading up to it. We got Madripoor showing up in Falcon and Winter Soldier. So I think mutants are coming closer than people think. So we'll see how that goes.
it almost seems to me like they kind of did a dry run of that on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. If you were ever watching that, Inhumans, the Inhuman storyline, which they were kind of doing to replace the X-Men in the MCU because they didn't have the rights to the X-Men in the MCU. Yeah. So they kind of got a dry run where it was like, oops, this chemical that makes people into Inhumans spilled into the ocean. And now it's out there and everybody's Inhuman now.
Yeah.
There's also, as you mentioned with Monica Rambeau, Kat Dennings' character was talking about, you know, oh, you've been in and out of the hex a couple times now. It's already started to change your body chemistry. It started to change you at a molecular level. Well, what about all the people that are inside?
Yeah.
How affecting them? And they're in there permanently. Monica was just in and out a couple times. So, once I heard that really ticked off in my brain about like, oh yeah. And the buzz around is a lot of people are talking about this reverse House of M thing. Instead of eliminating all mutants, maybe she is creating them, or maybe she's inadvertently creating them. But
yeah.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah. You even have Billy and Tommy, they have their powers. So, you know, there's a lot leading towards that. And, you know, we only have 3 episodes left, so time will tell if I'm actually speculating correctly, but I think that's what we're working towards. And I think here's the thing. I think that's obviously a big change from the comics in terms of like the origin of mutants. I don't think anyone would care. I don't think anyone's going to go, oh, that's not how mutants should be. You know, I think everyone would largely be okay with that.
Well, can you just educate me a little bit? Cause I've been reading comics for a long time, but there's always been mutants. What is the official quote unquote origin of mutants? Where'd they come from?
I think it's just largely just the gene. I mean, I'm not that educated on it myself, but I just, you know, I obviously wanted it and it doesn't create them in the comics. So I'm just thinking like more so like, I think this would obviously be a change, but I think it would be enough of a change that like no one's going to really bat an eye too much. You know, here's the thing. You may go, oh, that's kind of weird. But then the first time you see Cyclops or Wolverine show up, you'd be like, okay, I'm okay with this.
Let me ask you, do you think this is the fact that, and I apologize if you said this, I was reading something over here and on that's the okay. World Post, but do you think that perhaps Evan Peters showing up is the bridge into the X-Men universe?
Yeah. So I think a lot of people want Evan Peters to be playing like Mephisto or Nightmare or some other character. I literally think he is just transplanted from that Fox X-Men universe. And I don't know if Marvel will ever explain it more than just he popped in. I don't even know if they really need to. I mean, I know some fans would obviously love an explanation, but I feel like you could largely just be like, this is Quicksilver now. Like, whatever you want to think of his origin, whatever you want to think of how he got here, Quicksilver's back in the MCU. It's not Aaron Taylor Johnson. It's, you know, Evan Peters now. You know, I think they'll largely just gloss over it and just not have anybody really have to explain it that much. But we'll see. I mean, they might give a bit of an explainer. I'd be interested to see because there was that Funko Pop that came out that had Pietro's name in quote marks, and people made a big deal out of that. Like, it's not the real Pietro, but I took that to mean like he's not the same Pietro that we saw in Age of Ultron. I didn't really take that to mean he's another character in disguise, but people obviously read into things a little differently. That's how you have fandom. But, you know, it's interesting nonetheless to think of where we're going to end up at the end of episode 9. And I don't know. I started off WandaVision. I don't know about you guys, but I was like, I'm not a big fan of the sitcom stuff. But as you start,
as soon as
you start getting into this, like the MCU storylines and the whole mystery of it all, it gets to be a lot more exciting. And now I'm actually looking forward to every single episode, thinking, how is this going to change things? You know, how are we going to just have something just go totally off the rails and have a totally different story? So I don't know. It's cool. I think for Marvel's first Disney Plus project, it's been a pretty good success so far.
I think that's a thing for me too. As you mentioned, I am kind of internally waiting for some sort of an explanation about Aaron Taylor Johnson turning into Evan Peters, or, you know, because even in the last episode when they did like last time, you know, previously on WandaVision, they used a clip from Age of Ultron with Aaron Taylor Johnson in it. And then, you know, then used a clip with Evan Peters from the previous episode, obviously not using any footage from the Fox X-Men movies, but I did remember watching the Fox X-Men movies. What was the second one where he saves everybody from the mansion? Which movie was that he did that
Apocalypse.
In?
Apocalypse.
Yeah. In Apocalypse, that scene was so good. And I was just sitting in the theater thinking, oh, I wish this guy was Quicksilver in the MCU. Now he is, which is great. Yeah. I think there is a certain frustration on my part to be like, oh, I want them to connect this somehow and connect it, you know, explain why Aaron Taylor Johnson is now Evan Peters and then it's the guy from the X-Men universe and then they're blah, blah, blah. But I, like you said, I don't know if we'll get that. And I have to make peace with that. I did like there was a Kick-Ass reference, which film that both Evan Peters and Aaron Taylor Johnson obviously are both in. And that's funny. That's funny to me. And I think that was a subtle thing. I actually had forgotten that Evan Peters was in Kick-Ass. I knew obviously Aaron Taylor Johnson was Kick-Ass, but then they made a reference to that and somebody was like, oh yeah, Evan Peters was in that movie. He played his friend. And I was like, oh my gosh.
But you know what? I think they'll explain it.
Go ahead, Luke.
I really do think they'll explain it. I mean, like kind of how they explained on the third episode, kind of what was going on. I mean, they got to, especially like Ben said, like that they showed both versions of him. And they even kind of said, I think when he came in, oh, they recast him or said something like that, kind of even made a joke about it. I think we'll either see it kind of happen or they'll explain it. But hopefully they show it kind of like him with his speed or something going through some sort of multiverse or figuring that out. I think that'll be a big piece that's going to come in the next three episodes that will kind of explain things. I'm pretty sure they will. I'm confident they will.
Yeah, I agree. I think they've made too big a deal out of it in talking about it for them not to explain it, especially the fact that Wanda did not expect him and she doesn't know what to expect from him. I personally, as a fan of the comics, would love to see them go back to Wundagore Mountain as twins. I would love to see Magda, their bovine nanny, when they were brought up. And I would love to see them meet Daddy. I would love for them to meet Magneto. These are things that I hope happen. And I also think that this series possibly is leading us up to, and a lot of people speculated, talking about the NASA scientist, that the Fantastic Four cannot be far behind. So that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah. And just for the listeners, we do want to note that this is pre-recorded and another episode will be out after this is probably posted. So it could be revealed. So we're only currently up to episode 6, correct?
Yeah, we're on February 17th right now.
So if they reveal something big on Friday night that we haven't seen yet, don't call us stupid. Just call us ahead of our time.
Yeah. When they reveal that Agnes is a gender swap Magneto, you know, we'll talk about it next time.
You know, I wouldn't be complete. No, I got to see Magneto.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people were talking about that big cameo being Magneto and either being Fassbender or McKellen or some sort of combination of the two.
Yeah.
I can't remember if McKellen said, I think Sir Patrick Stewart said he was kind of done playing Professor X, but you know, Disney's got deep pockets and they use them to convince people to do things. So we'll see who ends up making appearances in the future.
I heard somebody suggesting that the next Professor X should be, speaking of how they can switch characters, Exposito, the guy who plays, you know, the guy on Breaking Bad who gets burnt up and dead, and he's in Better Call Saul, he's in The Mandalorian, he has the dark saber. What's his name?
Giancarlo Esposito.
Yes. Oh, Esposito. Can you imagine him as Professor X?
He would be good.
That would be great. That would be great. Hey, we do kind of – go ahead, Kurt, if you have anything else to say about this.
No, I just think, we're getting into the last three episodes, and I think people are going to want to stay tuned because I think, you know, it's been a little bit of a slow ramp up, but I think now we're in that sweet spot of, okay, we're getting towards the big stuff, you know. Maybe watch the episode a couple times, you know, just to kind of get everything. Because I know even with me, like the last episode that came out, I had to watch it three times just to catch everything. So, yeah, it's we're getting into the good stuff. So just enjoy it while you can. Because after a while, you know, we're going to who knows, you know, Disney Plus might start welling up with content. And, you know, who knows. But I'm enjoying it for what it is. The ride is more fun than anything else at this point, just to kind of see where we go week to week and what gets revealed, what questions pop up. It's it's part of the fun of the show.
Cool. Cool. And I know that the next series is The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And from what I understand, it is not what we're expecting. So that's kind of interesting to me. It's but it's going to be a little
Fantastic
bit more
Four might come into that. Is that what you're suspecting?
Oh, no. I think it's going to be a little bit more straightforward MCU type action.
Okay.
And it was supposed to come before Wanda. Like, it's just because of the production delays that Wanda got pushed as the first one. And so because of that, I don't think they're connected. I don't think we'll see a connection between the two. I know that Wanda is happening in the timeline. It is 5 years. It's after the blip. It's 3 weeks after the blip, which is when everybody comes back. 3 weeks after the blip, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Whereas Winter Soldier, but I've heard some stuff about that one as well. Anyways, hey, Kurt, this has been such a pleasure having you on the show tonight. It really has. I would love for you to come back whenever you feel a need to come in and share some stuff. But where can people follow you and find out more about you?
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter at Film Critic Kurt. You can follow me for movie reviews and just general insights on movies, as well as whatever random tweets I decided to tweet out that day. I'm also on Letterboxd, which is a great – I don't know if you guys are on Letterboxd at all or if you've mentioned it on here before, but I just love that site. It's great to just review movies on there. So I'm Fatal Koala on there, and then I'm over at 3greengrinders.com. We have content going up almost every day, it feels like. So check it out. You'll probably find something you enjoy there.
Wait, what is your name on Letterboxd?
Fatal Koala.
Fatal Koala. That's a name. By the way, do you know what Letterboxd is?
I am not familiar with Letterboxd.
Letterboxd is it's basically a social media site for people who love films and they share. Well, why don't you tell us about it, Kurt?
Yeah, it's basically a social media network, but you can review movies. So you can assign like a star rating, give it like a little bit of a, you know, review. And it's great because, you know, maybe you're wondering like, hey, what does Ben think of this movie? You could just go to Ben's profile, find that movie and go, oh, he thinks it's a 4 out of 5 movie. Great. Maybe I'll check it out. Right. So it's kind of cool. It's a great little way to share what you think about movies. And when you're already reviewing movies, you might as well take advantage of the people who want to find your opinion. So
solid point.
Yeah, he's already doing it on Facebook, so this might be another way for you to get involved, Ben.
Exactly.
Cheeseman, where can people find you?
You can find me on both Twitter and Instagram at CheeseOnCouch and also on theconguy.com, on the social medias, and on the website.
And you can find me at theconguy.com, or Jim Fry LA on Twitter, James D. Fry on Instagram. Please follow us. And Ben, please take us out.
Heyo, everybody. Thanks for tuning in today. We all love you watching us over here at the Con Guy. Look at how fun we are. We got our little Batman logo and he's smiling and it's fun. And again, thank you to That Hashtag Show for hosting us on their YouTube page and helping us broadcast and get out to the masses. As always, today's show is in part brought to you by Neft Vodka, reminding you to please drink responsibly, as well as Toink.com. TOYNK.com. Get all your nerdy merchandise, et cetera, et cetera. It's a fun site to go to. And my name is Old Buddy Ben Cleaver. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at BenKlieWer. That's Ben Cleaver. Hard to spell, easy to say. And remember, I'm drinking out of this red cup because whenever Ben Cleaver shows up, it's always a party.
Woo! Let's party on out of here. We'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody. See ya.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.